gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We've never helped any white farmers either.
Oh, no.
We'll get to all of that.
You don't know that.
We may have, inadvertently.
With a fart joke or two.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. I know how Sparks does on his iPad. He joins us from the Cincinnati Bureau. Oh,
Steffi.
Hiya. Heavy breathing I hear. Why? Could it be?
The Hump Day.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Good morning, Hal Sparks from Cincinnati.
Hiya.
Somebody on the live blog already said there's a Cincinnati bureau?
Right.
Well, I guess there is now.
Legitimately, this is the city of my birth, so technically I can be called Hal Sparks from Cincinnati, regardless of where I am.
All right.
Although, after I was born here, I left immediately. I was busy. And I had stuff to do.
Yeah, you had a thing with a guy.
Yeah,
I have a thing with a guy.
A
guy that you know well. It's the bald-headed prophet of doom, everybody, Ali Velshi from CNN. Good morning, Ali.
Good morning to you, and good morning to Cincinnati, Hal. Good to talk to you again.
You too, brother. Good to see you.
Excellent.
Ali, I know that doom is your, you know, it's your thing. But, but I think it's good news, certainly for a lot of the workers that are going to benefit, that they finally got jobless benefits through the Senate, right? By one vote, nonetheless.
Yeah, they did, and it's struggled. I mean, every month they've tried to do it, and in June they hit roadblocks, because increasingly what's happening is as this jobless problem goes on, more and more people are getting convinced that, well, what happens? Does this go on forever? And what would happen if we just let people fall off unemployment insurance? I mean, surely they'd go and get a job if they weren't getting government assistance. And you're hearing a lot more of that kind of talk, which happens when you've had a bad economy for a long time. There are actually people out there who say that that people take unemployment benefits because they'd rather work. Now, that kind of notion has been around for a long time. Average weekly unemployment benefits, $309.
Yeah.
Maybe there are some people who are choosing to take that rather than work. I think most people would rather earn more than $309 a week.
Yeah, I don't remember when that was the American dream.
Yeah.
That's a little tough to live on anywhere, I think.
Especially when you factor in cost of living into that. And really, that's the problem, is that they always discuss that number without how much the average person takes to actually just feed themselves and house themselves.
Yeah,
that number gets really rail thin.
Just to keep the lights on for this long into this radio show has cost us $309, I'll have you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
you have an electrical chair that's massaging you. That's not quite fair.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So, Ali, I mean, the other thing that I wonder is, again, there's that talking point that, oh, people are just lazy, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing is that this is stimulative, isn't it? I mean, people, they can then spend money, right?
Yeah, generally speaking, when you have virtually no money or you're running out of money or you're very low income and you get a pile of money or a little bit of money, I don't mean a pile, you generally spend that immediately, right? That's not extra money that's just for fun. Generally speaking, you go out and you buy things with that which stimulates the economy, as opposed to if you have $1 million and somebody gives you $309 a week, you're not as likely to do as much with that extra $309. However, here's the issue. So there are a couple of questions. Does this make good economic sense to continue to give people unemployment money? Answer that question. Then you move on to the next one and say, can we afford to do it? And I have to say, Stephanie, that one's got a little bit more legitimacy to me than the first one. The first one is people are unemployed. They don't have money. We have to do something. And then the third one is, does it make good economic sense to do it? In other words, do you get something out of it? They're all sort of combined. I'm sort of the belief that people shouldn't get unemployment benefits because it's good for the economy, even if it might be. The fact is these people are out of work through, in most cases, no fault of their own.
Well, right. And, Ali, you know, it's funny. One person I saw it's my good friend Congressman Alan Grayson yesterday. I saw make the point, you know, this is not free money. This is your money. These people have paid into this, you know, their whole lives. So, you know, in America, we help people when they're down, but it's their money. They're not just getting some handout.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And I think if we had a situation where we knew that there weren't five applicants for every job that's available, then we could say, hey, what's wrong with this picture? There's lots of jobs available, and then we have a whole bunch of people on unemployment insurance, extended unemployment benefits. That's not the case. So, and I think we all agree on one thing, that the government's priority needs to be in creating an atmosphere where jobs are created. That's got to be priority number one for everybody right now. We all agree on that. What we don't agree on is how exactly you do it. Many conservatives say tax cuts are the best route to doing that. Many on the left say stimulation, you know, continue to stimulate the environment, the economy, by putting more money in until consumers can step up. The reality is probably somewhere in the middle, but it's always bad at a time like this when people dig in and take positions that aren't
right.
compromises.
But, Ellie, haven't we already tried the tax cuts for the rich? Haven't we already tried that? Don't most economists agree that's largely how we got to this deficit? Is that, you know, I mean, it's this whole argument Republicans are trying to make that, you know, we can't afford 30 billion, whatever it was, for unemployment benefits, and we can afford $650 billion for the tax. They're free somehow. They're going to pay for themselves, the if we let the Bush tax cuts continue.
Well, Allie, also the element is, when it used to be, when you cut taxes for business, it stayed here in the country. A bigger problem now, and a more modern problem, is the fact that when you cut taxes for businesses, a lot of it just goes right out the door. It goes their corporate offices are not even in the United States. A lot of that money goes overseas or to even build infrastructure or plants in other countries.
Right, so here's the way we have to do this. We know that the engine for job growth in this country, in good times and in bad, is small businesses. They are the ones, if they can get access to credit, and if they can get access to certain tax breaks, in other words, tax breaks directly tied to employing people, buying things that create jobs in America, things like that. Targeted tax breaks can help. And that's why I say that the answer to creating jobs in this country is somewhere in between what the left and the right says. Until consumers step up to the plate, government has to continue to do that, and there might be some targeted tax breaks that can help. That combination can probably help us create jobs.
Allie, let me get your opinion, though. We've been talking yesterday about whether Paul Krugman was right when he originally said the stimulus should be bigger, because in my opinion, it has worked, but, now it politically has become probably impossible to get another one, but, certainly we're heading in the right direction jobs-wise.
This is always the problem. Governments are always afraid to go ahead with stimulus to start with, and then they're often afraid to do enough at the front end. So if you recall, while Bush was in office, they had a stimulus program. It was tiny, and it didn't have any effect, and it was kind of too late. You're kind of right about that, because ultimately, if it works, you get most of your money back. So if you put a lot of money into stimulus, but the problem is our stimulus approaching $1 trillion, everybody gets kind of squeamish about this. Nobody wants to put this money in, and there was a lot of opposition to it. So you put some of it in, and that has gone in has largely worked. There have been some things that haven't worked, but largely the stimulus has worked.
Well, Allie, let me ask you the question that John Boehner blubbers on the House floor all the time about, where are the jobs? Paul Krugman has another piece, is there a jobs mystery? I wonder if you can answer that question from your point of view. Part of what Paul writes is, it might reflect the perception that recovery from financial crisis-induced recessions is much slower than recovery from recessions created by tight money imposed by the Fed to control inflation. What is your take on where the jobs are, and is there a jobs mystery?
Well, the problem is, we have jobs that have been created by the government. What we don't have is a full follow-through of the private enterprise, the private side saying, we'll create lots of jobs. Now, what Boehner and his crew are saying is that this administration keeps coming out with different changes in legislation and regulation, like we're seeing today with financial regulation, and that's scaring people from creating jobs. Now, what I'm going to ask some conservatives when I have them on my show today is, point to where those jobs are not being created. Show me a business and tell me that they're not creating it, because they're afraid that there'll be more regulation coming in. The rules will change, basically. Everybody wants the rules to stay the same long enough that they can then make plans and hire jobs. I don't think that's true across the board. I think that's true. It was true in the healthcare sector to some degree, because we knew there was healthcare reform coming. So that would make sense to say, let me not do all sorts of crazy things until I know what this reform is. I also think it's been a little bit true in the banking sector, and it's probably going to be a little bit true in the energy sector, because we know that there'll be some sort of legislation coming. coming, so you might want to hold off. Generally speaking, though, I don't think the retailer at the mall is not hiring because there are going to be regulatory changes. They need to hire when there are people coming in to shop. So I think there are jobs out there that have been created. There certainly haven't been enough of them. I'm not smart enough to know exactly why just yet because it's all about sentiment, but I think they're going to come.
Well, I will be watching and enjoying that because Republicans are always fun when pressed for specifics. I don't know if you saw Meet the Press when they were David Gerger was pressing, who is it, Cornyn and the other Republican for, so what would you cut? You're bitching about deficits. What would you, and they can't say. They're, you know.
Well, the danger here, and I hope it's not, you know, I hope nobody does it because Republicans do it and Democrats do it too. The problem is as we get closer to midterms, they've all got talking points now. And that's difficult because I can ask them what the weather is in Washington today and somehow it'll work into cap and trade, job killing tax cuts. So I sort of want everybody to understand that over the next 6 months, as we ask people questions, as journalists ask people questions, we'd really like to just have the question heard and answered to the best of your ability and not slip right into party distributed talking points. It would just be better for our listeners and our viewers all around.
You need to have more loose cannons like radio hosts on. We don't.
Totally right. I love radio hosts.
We can't be trusted.
What's on their mind.
Let's talk real quick before you go, Ellie, about the BP, the oil disaster, and the yep. financial impact of that. Boy, hard to tell the magnitude at this point, right?
Yeah. Well, generally speaking, as you know, I'm generally optimistic about things that other people are pessimistic about. I actually think this is going to cost much more than people are estimating. I mean, you can already see BP yesterday sold about $7 billion worth of assets right. in Canada and in Greece and around the world. They're starting to do that to make sure they have enough cash on hand. This thing could be $30 to $50 billion in damage. It's really remarkably phenomenal. And I have to say, Stephanie, I have said this for a long time, and I continue to say it, that if you don't want to see oil spills like this, you got to use less oil. And yeah. we've got to commit to ways to do that. And we don't. We ultimately don't. We forget about this. We forget about that mining disaster because we go back to using coal for all our electricity. That's what we do. And until we decide as a nation that we're going to make changes, things like this may happen again.
Yeah. And you know why you remind us of that? Because you're the bald-headed prophet of doom.
I got to bring some doom into there. I think the economy's going to get better, but I can't leave here without sprinkling a little doom.
I hear you. I hear you, brother. Ali Velshi from CNN's Your Yay. Money. Thanks so much, Ali. We always appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
All right. There he goes, Ali Velshi. He's the money guy.
Yep.
19 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfy every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Bitter Party 1. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. What a show! Mm-hmm. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline. Carl Frisch joins us to co-host Right Wing World next hour. Alan Combs!
Yes.
Representative Ron Kind and Glynis McNichol, senior editor for Medialite, to talk about the...
Mediaite.
Mediaite, exactly.
Yes.
My
so nice.
Point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To talk about the...
And I was just going to say, and Alan Combs has a few things to say about the Shirley Sherrod situation.
But he knows a little something about malfeasance at Fox News? What the fuck?
You know what, though? I do have to say that it's not the result of Fox News. It's more of a result of Andrew Breitbart.
Oh, please. It's both of them. You know, please. Oh, At this point, you know yeah. something's phony if you get it from Andrew Breitbart. It's like, Fox News did what? How much investigate? Gee, should we see the whole tape?
Right. Right.
Andrew, I guess not.
But they
I guess you just gave us the important part.
But to their credit, they haven't covered this nearly as much as they covered the quote-unquote Black Panther situation.
I cut them
That's
no
because
slack.
They couldn't. That's because they couldn't. If they carried it as much, it would garner as much attention. It was working.
Right.
Basically, what it was to use a basketball analogy, he brought it to the hole and they tipped it in.
Yes, exactly.
It, next to nothing to do with the plot behind it. But that's what Breitbart does. I mean, he and Frank Luntz, their entire their epidemiology.
Thank you, which is why you should give it at least a cursory journalistic once-over.
Well, you know, the entire media should have given it a cursory once-over.
Right.
Don in Rockford, Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Good morning. As I see this right and left thing, I see it as the right being morally disciplined and the left being morally irresponsible.
Uh-huh.
That's how I see...
In what sense, sir? In the sense...
When it comes to good intentions, I'm not saying the right and the left are bad people. I'm trying to be in the middle. But, like, let's just take financial...
No, you're not. You're literally saying
you're starting the conversation by saying the left is more immoral?
And that's not being in the middle.
I didn't say immoral. I said morally irresponsible.
Well, sure. Exactly. There's a big difference because...
As different than unresponsible. It's like, let's just take teachers, for instance.
Well, in that unresponsible is not a word, is it?
No.
But okay, teachers. So how are the left immoral towards teachers?
Well, I'm a union employee, SEIU. Uh-huh. And when you have four people, three of them retired, one of them working, and they're all drawing, and all those four people represent $1,300,000 for that one fourth grade teacher. After a while, you just cannot sustain that kind of giving.
Well, what are you talking about?
The problem with liberalism is it doesn't see reality. It just seems
Wait one second. You're basing this idea on pensions, right? This is what you're talking about? Pension systems, as they're set up, you're saying are unsustainable over time. Wait a minute. I got to clarify what you're saying, because ultimately you're saying that pensions are immoral because they're unsustainable, which is whether or not they're right versus whether they're sustainable on a fiscal level are totally different arguments. But here's the issue. All pensions are a form of delayed payment. So if you're saying to me, look, I can't pay you $50,000 this year, I can only pay you $30,000, but I can put money in an account so that when you retire, it will be invested to a point where it will raise a certain amount of money, and then you will get that money later. That is a delayed form of payment.
Okay, let him respond. Yes.
The problem is then...
It's not a morality play is my point.
When the left takes that money and puts it somewhere, then they use it, then they open up a new department in government, which now has to...
Wait a minute, the left doesn't take that money. the government has always taken that money.
Reagan was the one who went after Social Security and started using the Social Security Trust Fund to pay for other stuff.
And you know what? I'm not going to argue who's a better politician, Reagan or Clinton, okay? But the thing is that you have to...
No, you're just going to say the left is immoral and the right is moral based on the idea that we want to...
Irresponsible, not immoral. Irresponsible. Good intentions.
Okay. Well, you started out with the morality argument.
All right, Don. I joined with my friend Congressman Alan Grayson in saying, "May God help you, save your soul."
What?
Was it just me, or were there four arguments there trying to congeal into nothing? It was
thank you for trying to lasso all of them.
It was like the plot of Inception there.
29 minutes after the hour, Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, I thought you were cool last night.
I do rock.
Barely. Not so much these days. But I do have Carbonite Online Backup, which makes me way cool.
Yep.
It's a must for your computer, too. Carbonite automatically backs up those files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the Internet. Go to Carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie for my special 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Representative John Yarmuth, one of our other favorite products from Kentucky next to Hal Sparks.
Thanks.
Joins us now on the Newsmaker Hotline. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie. Glad you have Hal with you today.
Absolutely. I think we've both been Grand Marshals for the Derby or something at some point.
And I'm drinking Kentucky bourbon.
There you go.
Now, Congressman, let us give you a little canned radio applause for passing unemployment benefits. Thank God. Not a moment too soon for a lot of folks, right?
Well, exactly. And, I mean, in Kentucky, if we had gone a little any further, a few more weeks, there'd be over 100,000 Kentuckians without their unemployment benefits, which is about the way I had it figured, that's about $100 million a week that is not being spent. I'm sorry, $300 million a week that is not being spent in the economy. It's just, you know, there are about 2.5 million over the over across the country. And that means, you know, at an average benefit of $300 a week, that's $750 million a week that's not being in the economy, $3 billion a month. And when a time when we need as much economic activity as we can produce, there's no way we can afford to take that out of the economy.
Mm-hmm. And
well, I mean, forget the human cost. I mean, for me, the human cost, of course, is the most fundamental question. What are these people going to do?
Well, and yet another product from Kentucky that we enjoy somewhat less, Senator Mitch McConnell had this to say yesterday.
And we're ready to support one now. What we do not support, and we make no apologies for this, is borrowing tens of billions of dollars to pass this bill at a time when the national debt is spinning completely out of control.
As Alan Grayson said yesterday, God help his soul. I mean,
yeah, well, he doesn't show his face much in Kentucky these days. I will tell you that for sure. And of course, this is so disingenuous because the Republican Congress, when they were in control, had no problem in fighting two wars without paying for them, and you know, enormous tax cuts without paying for them, a new prescription drug benefit without paying for it, and they consistently, when they had to, approved unemployment benefits without paying for them. I mean, this has always been considered by both parties as emergency spending that you can't subject to these pay-as-you-go rules. And you know, we're just a couple months away from the end of the fiscal year. Where are we going to find this money anyway? I don't you know, they're saying take it from the stimulus. Unspent stimulus funds. I don't think there's anywhere near that amount left in the Recovery Act funds.
Well, and also whether you know they also were against PAYGO as well. You know that if you're going to argue that you're so deficit concerned right now, and then to not go well, a lot of these new things have to be paid for before they're even put into the budget. They were against that as well.
Right, exactly. And I mean, I spoke on the floor last week about this, and I said, you know, the only conclusion you can reach from their amnesia is that they have decided that they're going to inflict as much pain on the American people and do as much damage to the economy as they can, and then figure that the American people will blame Democrats because we're nominally in control of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And that is clearly their strategy, and it is so cynical and so unconscionable that it's hard to believe it, but there's no other conclusion you can reach.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and I've heard that said more and more often, Congressman, and as an American, it really does make you go, wow. I mean, you know, we're all in this together when you're in bad times like this, but that, I mean, it absolutely, this latest thing I have to say, it's not like we haven't said this before, that, you know, the party of no, and they're just doing political, but I mean, this was pretty naked, wasn't it? I mean, you had Lamar Alexander, I mean, just the same talking points over and over again. Take a listen to this.
We believe that the federal debt has grown to a point where it is at an alarming level and it is threatening the future of our children and our grandchildren.
It's just so naked, the fact that there was not a peep out of them when they voted for unemployment insurance when Bush was president and running up a huge deficit with wars not even on the books, right? You know, and these tax cuts. And they just not an iota of concern then, was there?
Well, of course not. And you know, you have to go back to Grover Norquist's line about basically starving government to the point at which it shrinks to when you can
drown it in a bathtub.
Drown it in a bathtub. Yeah. And this is their governing philosophy right now. And you know, I hope the American people, and it's up to us to deliver this message for the next 7 weeks, understand, as Pete Sessions said on Meet the Press the other day, that their agenda, if they get control again, is the exact same agenda that they had when during the Bush years. He said the exact agenda that they advanced during the Bush years. And, again, that's our responsibility to drill that home with the American people. Because
well, you also wouldn't hire somebody to babysit for you if they told you they hated kids and were for their elimination. So why would you hire somebody?
Well, I would
to run
if I really wanted to go drinking. I would. But.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it really is sad. And of course, with the exception of your program and a few others, the media is so dysfunctional right now. And as we've seen in the last couple of days with this incredible story of the woman at the USDA, and it's like all you've got to do is get something circulated on a blog, let one of the great right wing conspiracy in the mainstream media pick it up, and all of a sudden it becomes it dominates the airwaves for a while.
Well, and that's right, Congressman. And you know what the tragedy of this, when you think about it, it's just everybody's lazy. You know, it's like, yeah, just go with the, you know, the clip that Andrew Breitbart sent along. And, you know, this is someone's life and career. Here she is. This woman spent her whole life working for these people, these poor farmers that she saved their farm. They're speaking out in her support. And right. yet, you know, it just, boy, that was a news cycle. It's like, oh, okay, racist, done. There goes her career.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that's really tragic is, unlike many times in the past, every issue that we deal with now is extremely complicated, and they're not necessarily right or wrong answers. They're just problems that need to be addressed, whether it's health care or financial reform or energy or immigration, and we don't know how to have an intelligent conversation about them anymore. And so if we're not able to do that, figure out how to do it with the media's cooperation, then we're never going to get any kind of effective solution to these problems. And, you know, I sat through a session earlier today about trade policy, and this guy, one of the people who were in talking with us, said, you know, this government has to be involved in our commerce, and we have to be able to realign our national interests with our corporate interests, and the only way that can happen is the government. And I mean, that's an interesting philosophy and an interesting position, but how do you have a conversation about that in this environment when you know people don't trust anybody, but the future of our economy may depend on that? And his reasoning was, this guy's reasoning was, around the world governments actually are partners with corporations.
Right.
And so we're trying to compete on a playing field by our own rules when nobody's playing by those rules.
Well, so. I mean, you know, this is the problem, like you say, whether it's well, first of all, I want to get your take. I mean, Shirley Sherrod, I mean, Tom Vilsack says he's reconsidering. I mean, she absolutely ought to be given her post back, shouldn't she?
Right. Oh, without question. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, you know, it's on Fox News and people take it as truth. I mean, we've just been talking about the economy and unemployment. I mean, this is Stuart Varney on Fox Network, and it just, they broadcast things as if they are fact, when they're really Republican talking points.
Taxes are going to go up on January the 1st of next year. Right. That will slow the economy down. Secondly, this extension of unemployment benefits is going to put $33, $34 billion extra right onto the deficit. So you're going to swell the deficit in the near term, swell it some more in the longer term when you raise taxes, because that slows the economy and increases the deficit.
My God.
You're getting sleepier. You're all getting sleepier. This is the news.
And yet at the same time, the CBO and the New York Times and a couple other sites have put out this number that if you put unemployment benefits into the economy, you get $1.62 back for every dollar spent. If you cut taxes, you get $1.02. There's,
right.
I mean, that's sheer numbers. There's no argument there, even on the right. They just avoid that number because it doesn't serve their conversation, their talking point.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And you know, Stuart Varney, I was on his program one time, and he was trying to talk about all the things that would cause businesses to hire people. And you know, I said, well, where did he get that? He's never been in the private sector. He's never run a business. I don't know how he knows. I have. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. I have two brothers and a sister, all of whom run businesses. My father did. I did.
Right.
And here's Stuart Varney, who went to, I guess he went to the London School of Economics, but then went into broadcasting right after that. What does he know? I mean, people will say anything, and you're always going to get, you know, if you don't believe anybody, you'll believe anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's right now, that's just a huge credibility problem. So Stuart Varney can sound like experts.
That's the talking point on the right. There was one time, I'll never forget, Ed Schultz and I were both guests on, I think it was on Larry King, and the Republican on with us said, well, you two don't know. You've never had businesses.
Like,
excuse me? These are businesses.
Yeah.
The Ed Schultz and the Stephanie Miller Radio Show are businesses. You know, it's like,
right, yeah.
But I mean, it really is. What sort of business is the Yarmouth family in now? I'm curious. curious to know.
Well, I have one. My father actually built, he's been dead for some time, but he built the largest, second largest public company in Kentucky. It was a conglomerate, had 80-something different businesses. I have one brother who's in the home health care business. I have another brother who's in the barbecue business, owns a Sonny's Barbecue in the Southeast, which has about 150 restaurants.
Oh, and make a note of that.
My sister runs a shop in Kentucky, and so, you know, I started and ran a publication and a weekly newspaper, and so we've all been in business. We know the difficulty of making a payroll and you know, trying to provide health care benefits and all of those things that people are dealing with now. And you know, the answers are simple. You got to create more economic activity in this country. You've got to create more consumption. And that means putting money into people's pockets.
That's right.
Now, the only way to do that with these unemployed is to make sure they get their unemployment benefits.
Well,
things are going to get worse.
Yeah. The only question before you go is, I can get, what, maybe 40-50% off on some ribs if I hit the Kentucky Yarmouth restaurants?
You betcha. One thing I did see, saw something this morning, that alcoholic consumption in the country has gone up, so that ought to be good for Louisville's Kentucky's economy.
That's right.
That's me. That's just me. All right. Representative John Yarmouth of the great state of Kentucky, thank you so much, Congressman.
Thanks, all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank
there
you.
He goes. All right. Speaking of things from Kentucky.
Yes.
Hal Sparks will tell you what cartoon player character he played and got fired as.
This is an awesome story.
Park in Kentucky.
Right.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Can you dance from a chaise lounge?
Yeah, I'm doing that Hal Sparks Rock'em Sock'em Robot dance. Just the upper half of me.
51
minutes after the hour.
No, I only Rock'em Sock'em Robot because when I'm dancing with you, you do this wide-armed kind of squatty thing.
Because I'm Elaine from Seinfeld. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know.
Right.
Yes.
So I have to kind of I gotta shrink my body down.
Just so you don't get hit.
All right.
Yeah, it's like playing Operation. That's what it is. Dancing with you is like playing Operation. If you touch the side.
No!
Ow!
You hit the funny bone. All right.
Yes,
what,
I did.
What cartoon character did Hal Sparks play and then get fired as at a park in, where exactly was it?
Cincinnati. Outside of Cincinnati, Ohio.
What's the name of it?
Kings Island.
Kings Island. And you played? Scooby-Doo.
Well, Scooby-Doo!
Scooby-Doo,
yes.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I had a summer job at one point where I was, because I was wanting to be a comedian and an actor, everybody thought this would be a good idea.
Yes.
But I go and get a mascot job. So, because I'd taken mime classes and all this stuff. And
I think anything where you have to wear a fake head is probably not a good career move, but that's just my...
I think you're... I would even go so far as anytime your hat is bigger than your head, like, Pope goes a long way. I think there's a thin line, personally, between Pope and playing Scooby at Kings Island, but that's my own personal...
Yeah, even a hat, and you're right. Any job that are, you know... If you're asked the question, what makes you think you're qualified to wear the Mr. Sausage hat, then
it's bad.
You know things have gone awry career-wise.
I'm good at standing in traffic and waving people into a burger joint. or
giving people paper cuts with flyers.
Yeah.
So how did you get fired?
I was playing Scooby-Doo. This was my summer job. It lasted about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I would go up there when I was visiting my grandmother. I would go up and I would work. And I was standing. I was, you know, doing the kind of pictures and stuff. And this little kid, probably 9, started kicking me in the shins really hard. He would just run up and go whack, and then run away. And then he'd run up and go whack, and run away. And I couldn't do anything. And the handler, they're supposed to give you a handler that helps you or whatever. And she wasn't doing anything. And so I just, and then one point he just walks over and he starts kicking me just repeatedly, bang, 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 bang. And he thought it was so hilarious. So I couldn't do anything, and you're not allowed to talk. So the only thing I could think of to do was I just started barking at him really loud. I went, rawr, 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 and he screamed and started crying and ran to his mother, and they escorted me off the property.
Scooby barked at me!
Yeah.
But that's
Harry
what
dog man.
That's what dogs do, though.
Yes,
you were in character.
I think that was very clever. May I just say, that was improvisation, which is why you would go on and become a famous actor.
Exactly. I stayed in character.
That's like a James Lipton episode there. And so you made the choice to bark.
What's your favorite swear word? I'm going to have to go with...
At least you didn't break character. I mean, you could have yelled at the kid and with a stream of obscenities.
Exactly.
Scooby could have said, listen, you little bastard.
Stop I'll cut you. I'm not... Like, lean in and go, you keep kicking me. I'm going to go for your mom's throat.
Yeah, you could have done Al Pacino.
Look how big these teeth are. Yeah.
You could have gone Joe Pesci on his ass.
Exactly.
What am I? Clown? I'm here to amuse you?
Yeah.
All right. Here's my favorite part of that story.
Where did Scooby get a baseball bat? Right.
Is that the mascots had handlers or security of some sort.
They all do.
Yeah, theme park mascots do.
Really?
You need one. You need one.
Because you can't see, basically.
And people can sneak up on you and do all kinds of untoward things.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is that it is the sweatiest. It's like, you know, you're in a sauna. So you really can only be in the suit for about 15 minutes before they have to take you somewhere and give you a, you know, a pile of electrolytes and let you and fan you.
Medevac you out of there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Say, I could laugh like Scooby, but the reason why I called it, I'm calling.
Go ahead. Don't just throw that up. Do it.
That's
bad. Great.
That was pretty good. That was really good.
Hey, Scooby, where are you? That's my best impersonation,
okay.
So we're going to stop there.
All right.
But I'm speaking totally from the center. I'm just wondering why it is that people on the left speak through their mouth and people on the right speak through their ass.
Yeah.
And that was
the reason I'm saying that, guys, is that my mom and dad were teachers. Not an easy job. They don't make millions of dollars. And here this guy is going to berate that. Well, what about Republicans? You want to talk about irresponsibility. The reason why they have more money than us is because they think they shouldn't pay for anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep, exactly. Wendy in Chicago on our right-wing caller. Hello, Wendy.
Good morning. I just want to shed some light on the caller from Rockford when he was talking about liberals being, what was it, morally...
We're morally
irresponsible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here's where he was coming from. Chicago Tribune all week has been running a story, of course, a little right-leaning coming from the Tribune Corps. Mm-hmm. The title of the story they've been running all week has been, dun-dun-dun, $100,000 teachers. And...
Thank you.
And the crux of the story, basically, because our state is completely broke right now, there's no money towards any of the public schools. Not that Illinois statewide contributes a lot of money to public schools anyway. Our schools are extremely dependent on local property taxes. But because the state is so broke and because everyone's screaming about corruption, you know, we've got the Blagojevich trial going on, Pat Quinn, our current governor, you know, the hot race, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So everyone's looking for who to blame. So
you know who I blame, Wendy? The $100,000 teachers.
Thank you. And basically, exactly. And that has been the theme of this ongoing, quote-unquote, investigative reporting.
Listen, we're having riots out here over, who is it? Chris and Bell, the city supervisor, makes $800,000.
Yeah.
People, not happy about that.
Yeah. Basically, people like the guy that called from Rockford, this is, you know, like a pit bull to an ankle. This is what they're latching onto this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the teachers' fault. Of course, it's the union's fault.
No, of course.
And like what Hal said, okay, they get paid, you know, down the road years later in the back end. Maybe there's some tweaking to be done there. My philosophy, let's pay these teachers on the front end. Why do we think teachers don't deserve $100,000 a year?
Right.
They see our children more hours than
they're
we
What's more important than our kids not growing up to be a bunch of dumb stumps?
Yeah,
what, you know? Exactly. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America joins us next to co-host Right Wing World as we continue Hump Days with Al on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks, who joins us from the Cincinnati studio. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Jesse in Iowa did when future husband stack meets the Isn't It Ironic file, Chris.
Uh-oh.
This is a breaking news story out of Waterloo. A northeast Iowa man has been arrested for trying to steal surveillance equipment. Court records say one of the thefts was caught by... surveillance equipment. He was trying to steal security cameras, which was unfortunately caught on the security camera.
Was he stealing them from a security camera store?
I don't know.
One would think that a surveillance camera store would be, you know, surveilled
yes,
by
yes, exactly.
Cameras.
They might have a couple extra that might be surveilling the surveillance equipment. All right. It's time for, you know, it's fresh because it's Wednesday, and it's time for some right-wing world. Here we go.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. For Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me.
Sadly, the dangers of live radio, Carl Frisch not there yet.
Yeah.
I thought it said Carl, and it says Carl not picking up just yet. All right. We shall wait. Let's go to a Rob in Long Island. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I got to ask you a question. Was Stuart Varney ever a member of Criss Cross?
I don't think so.
The rap group?
Yeah, because it's only in Stuart Varney's world does raising taxes, as he calls it, add to a deficit. Where does that come from? Because I think much like his body, his head must be on backwards in his clothes.
I don't know. Okay. I thought he meant Christopher Cross, the 70s singer.
No, there were the young rap kids who were famous for wearing their clothes backwards.
I'm talking about the line from the Hitchcock film, Criss Cross.
Jeff in Orange County. Hi, Jeff.
Just want to shout out to Rackford, where my mother hails from. But I'd like to question everybody on the so-called Christian right why they would question the morals of their Lord and Savior, who was most obviously a liberal. Jesus Christ was a liberal.
Yep.
Let's get our stuff straight, guys.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me every time I hear that liberals are, you know, morally corrupt or anything. Jesus Christ was a liberal. Everything he was about, preached about, and walked the earth and on water about was promoting liberal agenda.
And he's a fan of Cheap Trick, also from Rockford.
And the walking on water, a cheap trick, obviously.
A parlor, from their point of view.
A cheap partisan trick of his, being a liberal.
Well, that was just him trying to put bridge builders out of business. That was, you know, if Jesus taught everybody to walk on water, then, you know, where would all the money from drowning go?
All right, if you haven't heard the Shirley Sherrod story, you've just tuned in. Before we dive into right-wing world, let me... what was that movie, Jim, the, what do you call it? What's his name?
2001.
No! The Paul Newman
Earth
movie.
Elimination.
The Verdict.
Oh, Slapshot.
Who do I see about getting my name back, right? Doesn't he have that line? Who do I see? How do I get, you know, Shirley Sherrod, I mean...
That was James Mason's last movie, I believe, The Verdict.
Yeah. The NAACP has retracted its original statement condemning comments made by a former Agriculture Department official who resigned after a video clip surfaced of her discussing a white farmer. The NAACP said in the statement that it was snookered by Fox News and conservative website publisher Andrew Breitbart.
Breitbart again? Huh. What are the odds? Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah. Having reviewed the full tape by Shirley Sherrod, who was the woman who was fired by the Department of Agriculture and most importantly heard the testimony of the white farmers mentioned in the story, we now believe the organization that edited the documents did so with the intention of deceiving millions of Americans. Yeah. The organization also urged Tom Vilsack to reconsider Sherrod's resignation, and, which he is, I guess. Yeah.
But can't you be sued for that sort of thing? Misrepresenting somebody?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Yes. Yeah,
I think it's why, defamation of character.
Yeah,
right.
And he's done it twice now.
I love this. Breitbart said on CNN yesterday that releasing the video was not about Shirley Sherrod. Oh, she was just roadkill, I guess. She was just collateral damage. He said this was about the NAACP attacking the Tea Party and this showing racism at an NAACP event.
And
I did not ask for Shirley Sherrod to be fired.
Well, then why did he release a heavily edited tape of her speaking at a...
Because he was trying to make the NAACP look stupid, just like they were trying to make... Acorn looks
stupid. And
they
got Acorn put out of business.
Yes.
Because of...
Yes. And if she doesn't get her job back, that's what Democrats. I mean. Who do I see to get my good name back? Who do I see to get my career back
A lawyer.
And she's indicated this morning that she may not want her job back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, after going through all of this.
She defended herself in a number of interviews, saying her controversial comments were taken out of context. Yeah, if ever there is time that the phrase out of context applies to, it's this one.
Mm-hmm.
She said, used a personal experience from nearly a quarter century ago in which she confronted her own racism and learned to move beyond it. She insisted she went all out to help man keep his farm and said she resigned only under pressure from the Obama administration. She said the incident with the farmer, this was in 1986, occurred before she started work for the USDA and was working at a nonprofit Federation of Southern Cooperatives. She said the experience helped her to learn to move beyond race, and she tells the story to audiences to make that point.
It was a story of redemption.
Right. So they made it sound like this is something she just did yesterday because she's a racist. Meanwhile, the farmer referenced in the clip told CNN he credits Sherrod with helping his family save their farm. Mm-hmm. I don't know what brought up the racist mess, Roger Spooner told CNN. They just want to stir up some trouble, it sounds to me, in my opinion. Yep. Spooner says Sherrod accompanied him and his wife to a lawyer in Georgia who was able to help them file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which ultimately saved their farm. If it hadn't been for her, we would have never known who to see or what to do. She led us right to our success. Spooner's wife, Eloise, remembers Sherrod as a nice-mannered, thoughtful, friendly, good person. She said when she saw the story of the tape and Sherrod's resignation, I said, that ain't right. They've not treated her right.
Which is why they should be witnesses at Andrew Breitbart's trial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The video shows Sherrod telling her audience the farmer she was working with took a long time trying to show me he was superior to me. As a result, she said, she didn't give him the full force of what I could do. I did enough. To prove she'd done her job, she said, she took him to a white lawyer. I figured if I take him to one of them, that his own kind would take care of him. But that lawyer failed to help, she said. I did not discriminate against the farmer, and in fact, I went all out frantically to look for a lawyer at the last minute because the first lawyer we went to was not doing anything to really help him. In fact, that lawyer suggested they should just let the farm go. She was able to find an attorney to file Chapter 11 to help the family stay on the farm.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story.
It turned out to be a heartwarming story.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly.
You know, it must be a heartwarming story. Andrew Breitbart in prison.
All right. Oh, are we? Should we just dive into Right Wing World? Let's just
let's do it.
Carl Frisch is unavailable, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Media Matters is actually trying to locate Eric Bollert, who went up against Andrew Breitbart on this very issue on TV. So we'll see if we can get him.
Okay. O'Reilly on the. Oh, are they still on the Black Panther story?
Yeah. The mainstream media has largely ignored the Justice Department's challenge to prosecute some Black Panthers who allegedly intimidated voters in Philadelphia. Well, after being exposed, the establishment press is now trying to recover. Fox News reported the story responsibly, Howard.
What?
Oh, my God.
The Washington Post did not, and now regrets.
He's drunk, isn't he?
He sounds drunk.
Responsibly, Howard.
Since they've just been made to look like complete idiots once again with the Shirley Sherrod story, I guess they have to.
This is why you don't go reporting racist stories willy-nilly. This is why you go check it out.
Right. Yeah. Only report your racist stories after you've verified
And then you tell the lie anyway.
Get fair and balanced and make sure that there's a trademark on the phrase fair and balanced so that it doesn't have to actually be true.
Fair or balanced.
You know, I got to get some out-of-context videotape on Sean Hannity next time I'm at a radio conference with him. See how he likes that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
We didn't see the end of the tape, but she still admits that she was discriminating against this white farmer. She still admits in this that she was torn how much she should help the guy. She decides that he should get help from one of his own kind. She refers him to, quote, a white lawyer. We heard the audience reaction.
From the highly edited piece.
Yeah.
Right, I see.
So she should be convicted based on what kind of sound you heard on the tape from the...
Hello, Strom Thurmond? Anybody? I mean, isn't that the nature of, like, you know, forgive and forget, you know? Trent Lott lost his job. over the fact that he was actually not the fact that Trump government had kind of come around after a while and gone, you know what, I wasn't necessarily right back then. Trent Lott was actually going, actually, you kind of were. Yeah. If we'd have kept black people from getting in office, we wouldn't be in all this trouble right now. That's, I mean, and he said that now.
Is it me or did Hendy just admit that it was, well, yes, it was out of context. I'm just saying, but the little part that, so what about the rest of it? The part that was there. But,
he was scrambling there.
I was just going to say.
Well, and again, they go after this. They go after this until she loses her job. Uh-huh. And we should stay on this part of it until somebody there loses their job.
Yeah.
We never do that. There is never that follow-up when they find out that this is crap.
Yeah,
and that they've
Glenn,
driven somebody.
Glenn Beck can drive Van Jones out of his job, and yet, you know, Glenn Beck's still there.
Yeah, you know what the story is on Fox News last night and today? Mm. They're saying that Obama screwed up for firing this woman in the first place.
Oh, I see.
That is the tack they're taking.
Yes, based on the tape that we ran 24/7.
Trying to get her fired.
Right.
And then when
you
did it, let's blame him.
Wow.
Brilliant. Newt Gingrich. Why didn't I think of that?
Newt Gingrich on the...
We should condemn racism wherever it occurs.
Frankly.
Now, we hope that the NAACP will apply that standard to somebody who's at one of its banquets. But I think it's good for the country to see that we're not afraid to reach out and talk to people and to try to focus the conversation in a positive way.
By higher editing.
Yeah, but what do Kanga and Rue think, Winnie?
Yeah.
Let's think back to the last time racism occurred. Oh, I know, when you called Sonia Sotomayor a racist. Remember that. Wasn't that a little tweet from Newt?
You see, racism isn't from white people. It's from all the black and brown people who, frankly, hide behind racism to hide their own racism against people who are, well, racist, frankly.
Wow. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Check us out. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, fresh from an ass-kicking, from kicking Andrew Breitbart's ass on Good Morning America, joins us now. Woo-hoo! Good morning, Eric.
And that's a considerable target.
Ay vey, what a story, huh?
Yeah. I mean, sitting there next to Mr. Breitbart and Mr. Stephanopoulos.
What does, but
interesting
Eric,
morning.
What is his, I don't understand his defense for why.
Oh, well, you have to go deep in the rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
Where only a few can venture and sustain themselves. It was this whole smear against poor Shirley Sherrod. It was never really about her, even though he called her a racist on his blog site website and actually had a nifty race card designed to go along with it.
Yeah, the headline on his site, Video Proof, the NAACP Awards Racism.
You go.
Yeah.
So subsequently got her fired, of course, from an administration that overreacted to this right-wing nonsense.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about her. It was all about, apparently, this murmur within the crowd that you can hear for about 3 seconds of the video. That's why he published, that's why he posted the video, because he wanted to show that a couple people sitting in an audience in an NAACP in Georgia in March kind of sort of murmured or clapped when Shirley Sherrod told her story. That's what it's all about, really.
I think he left out the fact that there were white people in the audience, too. As she said, why would I do something racist if they were there?
And the fact that the story was, A, 25 years old, not when she was a federal official overseeing, quote, billions of dollars in taxpayer funds.
Well,
and the whole tale was one of redemption and how she was able to move beyond her own prejudice.
Well, exactly. As she says, it missed the whole point of the story about how she eventually worked with a man over a two-year period to help ward off foreclosure of the farm, and she became friends with the farmer and his wife. She was just on CNN calling Sherrod a friend for life. She treated
absolutely.
Us really good, got us all we could. She's the one to give credit to for us helping us save the farm. So this, you know, obviously this end of the story is exactly the opposite of what Breitbart, you know, was trying to impart.
It's opposite day. But also, yesterday Breitbart was on TV suggesting that farmer on CNN might have been a fake.
Oh, really?
You've got to be kidding me.
It might be a fake.
Yeah.
But what's also interesting is Breitbart has gone so far over the edge that even his sort of sycophantic readers and even his buddies in the right-wing blogosphere are like, you know what? Dude, enough. Jonah Goldberg said he should apologize. A la Pundit, these are all sort of the A-list right-wing bloggers.
Wow.
They've all said, you know what, this is not right.
So why did
smeared this woman, it's out of context. This is not cool.
So why did the administration cave so easily?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah, Vilsack says he's reconsidering now, but man, she better get her job back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other half of the story. And look, I mean, this is what's so maddening for folks on the left and progressives and people who follow this stuff. You know, Democrats need to stand up to this media mob because
right.
99 times out of 10, they don't have facts and they don't have the truth on their side.
Yeah,
all they have is fear.
Fox says boo and everyone wets their pants on the left.
I know. I mean, Eric, and that's what you do so brilliantly. You know, it's shooting fish in a barrel to point out, you know, to make fun of stuff on Fox News. But you know,
yeah.
This is the bigger story is how either, like Jim just said, reactionary or just plain lazy. Everybody else was in the media and in the White House.
Yeah,
she's the clip's on Fox News, so that must be. You know,
it must be true. I mean, this again, opposite day. I mean, the whenever Andrew Breitbart posts any sort of video, you can assume that it's part of a larger lie. You can assume that there's no context. You can assume it was. You know, edited maliciously. You could assume
right.
he's withholding important information. You can just assume all that
assume
stuff. And, you know,
right, but it's part
this.
Of this. It's part of this right wing machine that you always
oh,
write
absolutely.
About. That of course, if Fox News gets it from Breitbart, they just air it as is with no. You know, I mean,
oh yeah.
Oh, you trust his journalistic integrity must
yeah.
be. You know, I mean, can you imagine if you guys sent a clip or I sent a clip? So look, you know, they would investigate it six ways to Sunday.
Here's
yeah.
Bill O'Reilly having sex with a goat. Well, actually, that's more plausible.
They're like, oh, we've seen that. That's what we watch in the break room.
Well,
but
fascinating
if you
thing
look, is, if you look at the politics of this, the only thing I'm not quite sure of, I mean, from all indications, this was a Department of Agricultural decision. My, you know, if you're looking for a silver lining, I would hope that the White House knows this game, and the White House, which did, you know, pick a good fight with Fox News last year, would not assume that Breitbart and Fox are telling the truth. And maybe folks at Department of Agriculture aren't quite as savvy, and that's why they caved. That would be the only silver lining in all this. But, of course, she shouldn't have been fired. She didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And, of course, this should be, you know, example number 95 that, you know, when Democrats are and progressives are in the right, they need to stand up and not be kowtowed by this stuff. But you know what? You know, the mainstream press is to blame as well. I mean, you know, The New Yorker wrote this big puffy Valentine to Andrew Breitbart earlier this year. He's the future of journalism.
Yeah.
Every glossy magazine has written these puff pieces. They all call me. I give them all this stuff, and I end up with a forward quote.
Right.
They all fell for this guy, and they give him legitimacy, and that's another reason
and
that
I love his
Democrats fall for it.
I love his defense. Well, I never called for her to be fired.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, please. He posts this heavily edited, clearly,
yeah.
like he doesn't know that's going to happen.
And when she got fired, he posted a Twitter note saying he was dancing in the end zone. So give me a break.
Oh, please. Mm-hmm. Eric Bowler doing clearly the Lord's work at Media Matters for America. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks.
All right. There he goes. You know, the media superstar of the moment.
Yes.
Checking in on the Stephanie Miller News. Cast. Back with more Right Wing World next, 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jeez, look at the butt on
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, she must work out.
Please call me Jiggles.
On her scooter.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I've been doing some Evel Knievel jumps through the parking lot on my mobility scooter.
Oh boy,
check me out.
Oh, yeah, sure you have.
Yeah,
we need more injuries.
Yeah.
I did.
A great idea.
I jumped over two handicapped spaces. You should have seen it. It was
handicapped
awesome.
People. That's
yeah.
not the same thing. That's yeah. not right. Hey, mine's temporary. That's just cruel.
They weren't handicapped before.
Yeah, exactly. They are now.
Bringing everyone down with me. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. In the midst of Hump Days with Hal, we're just a star-studded extravaganza this morning.
This
Alan Combs joins us now, star of stage, screen, radio, and television. Good morning, Alan Combs.
Yeah, great, great. Now that you're talking about how good you look, I'm sure Mel Gibson would find you very attractive.
Yeah. Please, I was the original sugar.
Yeah, exactly right.
Good morning, Alan Combs.
Yeah, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being had.
Well, I've been had, and I think you know how and why, but that's a whole other story.
Listen, we have got to talk about this Shirley Sherrod story, because what the fox? I mean, having spent time in the fox trenches, I know the Paul Newman movie I was talking about, I was wrong as
Absence
usual.
Absence of Malice.
Absence of Malice, when he says, who do I see to get my good name back?
Right. Well, as you know, I make all the editorial decisions at Fox, so I can really speak to them.
Well,
they consult with me on everything. And
yes. Yes. Well,
the Sherrod story. I think it's going to be a great one. In fact, let's just copy the Andrew Breitbart website. No, it's look, I think Breitbart is really to blame here, not Fox. He's appearing. By the way, I emailed Andrew last night, and my producer reached out to him. He somehow did not get back to us, but did every other show. He was actually in our building in New York last night. He was doing the Fox Business Channel. He did Hannity show, but somehow didn't get back to us.
Huh.
And
I
can't imagine why.
Yeah, I can't either.
And he's blaming the NAACP. It's their fault.
Well,
because
surely
they responded positively to the little clip that they continued to virally play.
That they were tricked with.
And the NCAA.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
He's blaming the Obama administration for firing her in the first place.
Well, by the way, thankfully, Vilsack, the Agriculture Secretary, Tom Vilsack, former governor of Iowa, got a call late last night from the White House, and the news this morning is that they're considering rehiring her. She said on Good Morning America today, she's not sure she wants the gig back.
I know. Yeah.
So,
I know.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Get a talk show.
Exactly.
I was saying,
Oprah.
Yeah, somebody better be lining up to kiss her ass. Andrew Breitbart first in line.
Exactly. Maybe she'll be a blogger for Breitbart.
I think he's finally. I mean, boy, it's about time. But he's finally getting exposed with this. I mean, this has become a pretty big.
Look at the trend here. They go after Acorn. They go after Holder. They go after Barack Obama. They went after Van Jones. They go after this woman. Gee, what's the thread that runs through all this?
Yeah. 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 Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I think you do.
I think yes. As subtle as it was, Alan. Well, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, does she get offered the job? Do you think, and does she take it?
I think she's going to get a promotion. Now, the whole idea, the arc of her argument before the NAACP was indeed the opposite of everybody said it was, and we had the whole video we played on our show last night. I mean, the clips that really were relevant to her message, which is that she learned a great deal. And significant was that this white farmer and his wife, now 84 years old, have said they've been now lifetime friends, and she helped save their farm. But you don't get idiots calling my radio shows things like, well, how do you know there isn't another white couple that she screwed? Well, I guess she should stay fired in case somebody else comes forward.
Yeah, Eric Mueller just told us that Andrew Breitbart is saying they might be fakes. The white family on TV.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a fake white family. They found a fake 84-year-old bunch of farmers to come and make up the story, just like the Mel Gibson tape isn't really Mel Gibson. I suggested on the Mel Gibson thing that he did the Mark Furman defense that they were rehearsing a play.
Oh, that's an idea. Mm. Yes.
That's what I think they should be doing with
it. It was
one.
For a role, is for some racist, homophobic, psychotic, violent idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm so glad Mel didn't leave any on the floor there. I mean, he put the whole thing right into the phone there. It was great.
Yeah, it's a sequel for Man Without a Face, where all his ugliness is on the inside now.
I don't know if you get crazy calling. I mean, people calling my show and saying things like, well, what did she do to provoke him? I mean, she must have done something, right?
Yes,
and what, it's a
clearly.
Shame her face ran into his fist. That's just a shame.
Oh, my God. Really? You have people calling you saying that?
Well, maybe I made up the last point, but I mean, basically that's the argument, you know.
And she's wearing a pimp costume.
But if someone actually did say last night, well, I said, well, is there any physical evidence? Yeah, she's got two chipped teeth. And the guy says, well, maybe she bumped into a wall.
Nah, maybe. I mean, she told grandma that she fell off the swing. That could be
right.
It.
I just wonder, these are people who are probably abusing the people they're involved with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that really is stunning. In fact, you know, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, what was it, Chris, last week's superficial said Mel Gibson punched his baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But because she was, again, you know, she was holding the baby, so...
Right.
But yeah. Here's all the thing. This guy was embraced by the Christian right when he did Passion of the Christ, which I thought was a virulently anti-Semitic film. All the Jews had hook noses, and, you know, they were all the bad guys. And his father, we know, was a Holocaust denier. And they were, but he was embraced by the Christian right. Meanwhile, they're going after Alec Baldwin for calling his daughter a little piggy. And makes Alec Baldwin look like the welcome wagon lady, but they leave Mel Gibson alone. Poor Mel Gibson.
Well, you know, Alan, don't know if you saw Frank Rich's piece, but another great piece weekend that reminding us. Yeah, you remember when you got called anti-Christian if you said one word against Passion of the Christ, which really was, it was like a splatter film. It was like a, you know, I mean, it was like a Gallagher concert.
Jackass. It was like Jackass starring Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was homoerotic myself.
Well, I think Frank Rich made that point, too. If you enjoy, you know, watching muscular young men get flayed alive,
I don't know what Mel was thinking, but there's some kind of subliminal message there. Yeah. I know you probably didn't mean to get off on Mel Gibson, but I can't get my mind off that story.
Right, but no, but that was another Fox News, whatever, right-wing media thing. Like, you couldn't say anything or you were being anti-Christian. And you're right, it was so over-the-top anti-Semitic and violent and, like you say, borderline pornographic. And nobody, and Frank Rich's point, you remember back then, he said, I want Frank Rich dead? I want to kill Frank Rich and his dog?
Right.
I mean, he was always a violent psychopath, you know, and everybody ignored it, right?
Yeah, but those tapes, we actually set those tapes to music, to 19th Nervous Breakdown. Anyway, we had a lot of fun with it.
I think he needs to take some breathing classes, if nothing else, because
he will not be the B'nai B'rith Man of the Year this year.
That's one thing you can say for sure. So what else is piquing your interest these days? I mean, you make news all the time for people you're able to get on your show and say the most ridiculous things.
We put on these right wing nuts. We put on these things. We had this guy last night. His name is JD or Jason Reddy, JT Reddy, and he's got a militia in Arizona and he's going after, he's stopping all the brown people from coming into the country. And I kept asking him, because he made these statements in the past. The Southern Poverty Law Center has a list of the things he said, like this should be a white country. He said, listen, what I'm talking, I'm just talking about immigration. And he said I was taking him off topic. Well, I think if you don't like little brown people, and you don't like Jews, and you don't like blacks, and you want to keep other people out of the country, but when I ask him about that, I'm off topic. We love finding these crazies. They make such. And look, Michelle Bachmann won't come on my show, but she'll do every right wing show. We can't get Rand Paul on the show. But it's amazing that, or this woman, Sharon Angle out in Nevada, they'll run to every right-wing microphone, but they will not come on shows like ours, Stephanie, and I think we should really protest that.
Well, I think it's ever since you got the right-wing guy to admit that he had, you know, sex with various farm life that...
Neil Horsley.
Horsley. Yeah, the unfortunately named Neil Horsley.
Yeah, couldn't be better named.
Obviously, it runs in the family.
Now, wait a minute. You got to take me back to that story. He was that virulently, anti-gay guy.
He's an anti-abortion guy. He did something called he put names of abortion doctors and their addresses online, and he is a virulently anti-abortion protester. Ran for governor of Georgia. He actually said, because I'd read some stuff about him, all these anti-gay, anti-abortion, the most virulent ones seem to have some thrilly underwear in their drawers at some point. And so I said to him, he said to me, when you grow up in Georgia, your first girlfriend is a mule. Now, I never really thought that was the case. He actually said that.
And that piqued your interest, just a skosh.
Well, it certainly did. I said, I didn't think that if you're in Georgia, you're dating Elsie. I didn't realize that was the case. But, that somehow went viral on the Internet. And
I can't imagine how.
This stuff writes itself. You can't make it up.
Right.
You can't invent these people.
Because you thought that perhaps he was kidding, and then he... went on
no,
to...
I really thought, he said, I can't be responsible for what I did 10 minutes ago. So, but I just, you've got to love that. And, the more angry they are and the more upset they are, and because we're on a lot of conservative radio stations as well, and I'm the only person they ever hear left of Attila the Hun, so they call me up very angry. When I actually try to engage them in conversation, like, hey, what do you do for a living? What do you want to know? It's like I must be the government infringing upon their rights. So, it's an interesting mindset that I think there is a very different mindset between liberals and progressives and conservatives.
Yeah. I think one thing we can all agree on, though, is Mark Levin is annoying. Here, take a listen to this latest.
The Tea Party activists are acting out of history and patriotism. We have been tormented and abused far more than the colonists were by the King of England.
What?
Far more. Far often. and far more aggressively.
Wow. Oh, no one speaks more eloquently of the fate of the white man in America, do they, Alan?
Who is that now?
Mark Levin.
Oh, that's Mark Levin. You know, it's amazing the paranoia these people have. They're the put-upon party. You know, it's the Christian white man. Well, Mark is Jewish, but it's the Christian, basically, white man who is the aggrieved party in America, right?
Yes.
These are the people we have to, you know, it's like we need white rights. Because
yes.
The whites have never been empowered in this country.
It's terrible.
And it's about time Christian white men stood up for themselves.
Exactly, Alan Combs. Crack a history book now and again.
Exactly right. Don't they know that we have every president's been black until Obama?
Welcome to Upside Down World. Alan Combs, star of stage, screen, radio, and television. Thanks, as always, for your time, honey. See you soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks,
all right. There he goes. Shocked. He was shocked to find out that there was journalistic gambling going on at Fox News on the Shirley Sherrod story. All right.
I'm surprised he didn't know who Mark Levin was. I mean, it's
yeah, how can you not
know who
it.
That voice is?
Oh, but I think there is something on the right about sounding kind of vaguely like a storybook character. Like, if you look at him and Newt Gingrich and Pat Buchanan, there's this kind of like, if I say all this racist crap, if I do it in a kind of Winnie Pooh friendly voice, you'll never notice that I'm slipping an idea worm into your head.
Well, it's like Evil Uncle Chuckles, Pat Robertson. He says
exactly.
The most hateful stuff, but really in a warm, chuckly way.
They should all be burned in the fiery pit of hell while they're
I agree.
All right.
As long as you giggle while you're saying
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Fine.
That's not evil. 46 minutes after the hour, we continue with Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere, in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks in the Cincinnati Bureau.
Yes.
Michael in California. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
And the Mooks, and
yes.
Hal.
Yes.
Hiya.
Hal is an honorary Mook.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to point out that yesterday I saw on the Fox News that they're all up in arms about the journalists collectively suppressing the Jeremiah Wright story in 2008. I just wanted to say that didn't journalists collectively suppress the Keating 5 story in 2008? To John McCain and him being the only one that didn't resign from his senatorial position?
And Michael, more, you know, in some ways I think even politically damaging is the joke he made about Chelsea Clinton. You know, I mean, I mean, really sort of, you know, really keeping under wraps just how mean John McCain is.
I know, Stephanie. It's a sad state of affairs.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Stephanie. Yes, ma'am.
I always thought it was a little wonky that after that reported remark by Cindy McCain about his hairline that, you know, he called her the C word.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yes.
And then two campaign stops later, she's got a cast on her arm.
Yeah. Nobody said anything about that.
Nope.
Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You know, what I want to know, you know, first of all, there's no excuse for this blunder, but what rocket scientist decided that Breitbart could have a credible news story?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
For the love of God, this is a guy that dressed up as a 1970s pimp.
No, that's not the same guy. That's not the same guy.
He sent somebody else out.
Right. He's the one that posted that, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's just another jerk, then, that does the
same
kind of
thing. He funded it, essentially.
Right.
The idea was that he essentially funded it and made it happen. And they, by the way, that's another example of him being involved with an edited video to discredit people that actually points to the exact opposite. One of the Hispanic people, and he's suing right now, but one of the Hispanic workers for Acorn kept asking them questions. Oh, you know, what's your phone number? How do you? When are you planning on bringing these people across? Yeah, I've got some connections in Tijuana for
right,
you. And then he called the cops immediately afterwards.
Right, to report it. And exactly. And so, yeah, go ahead.
So he's a different asshat. But just...
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is it should be the opposite. They should know that it obviously is untrue if it's coming from Andrew Breitbart, you know?
Right. And the White House really should be ashamed for falling for this.
And,
well, again, it might be the Department of Agriculture that fired her without consulting the White House.
But it's still under the executive branch, though. So Obama is still ultimately responsible.
I guess. So, I mean, so are 12,000 employees.
Not only did she lose her job, but she has all these people thinking. You know, how many people actually follow through? You know, in America, we're sometimes not the smartest bunch, you know, and it would prove it if we did a bunch of Republicans in the fall. But for God's sake.
Well, it's not even just smart. It's just being lazy. You know, it's just going, okay, well, that's all I got time to watch is that 5-second clip. So, you know, it's like.
Any good journalist that's, you know, gone, obviously, from the airways now is just spinning in their grave.
Well, I think journalism died when George Bush's cousin at Fox News
called the election.
Set out that Al Gore was losing, and the rest just followed the lead. Oh, they scooped us!
Yeah.
And it was Al Gore's fault for conceding so early. But
yeah, absolutely.
Same theme, Jim. Democrat caving early because you don't want to get called bad things in the media.
Oh, well, Fox says he's losing, so that must be true.
Kathy in Minneapolis.
I think that this is a classic case of defamation of character.
Yep.
Yep, right. It's like Paul Newman said in Butch Cassidy. I mean, pardon me?
Bring a lawsuit against that man.
Yep.
Isn't that why they even made this law? I mean, Hollywood people sue for less. She's lost everything, and she's looking at getting sued by other people that have questions about their loans from long ago or their lack of ability to get it because they think, oh, this girl screwed me.
Yep, exactly, Kathy. I misquoted on purpose. It was Paul Newman in Absence of Malice, not Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where he said, who do I see about getting my good name back?
I was too young to see that movie.
Shut up.
Wow. the fascinating part is this is clearly a meme that needs to be have attention drawn to it. That basically my mom, who I got to see last night because I'm in the area, and my mother gave birth to me on her 25th birthday on the 25th of September in room number 5 of Christ Hospital here in Cincinnati, where I am broadcasting from.
Yes.
And room 25 to keep it consistent.
Isn't that weird?
That'll be in the movie.
And then he laid him in a manger.
Yes. Yes. But the point is she has a phrase that my whole life she's brought up. Whenever I was upset by something somebody said to me, she would always go, consider the source.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
Always said, consider the source. Always before you take any seriousness, you attribute any authority to stuff that people say, you look back at the other things they have said and the other things that they have done, and you equate the two.
And that's why it bears repeating anything you see on Fox News, you should say, what the fuck?
Right.
You got Alan Combs to chuckle on that.
Mm-hmm. Jim Quinn, let's finish up our little right-wing world from the War Room radio show.
Yes.
We have told you that we have an African colonial president.
Uh-huh.
So we have basically a president who is a hater of Western civilization, capitalism, and the Brits Americans in particular. This is an un-American president. This is not. This man is, I mean, he may have been born here, and I'm not even sure of that. We'll give him that, but he certainly is not in his heart anything that relates to what we know as Americanism.
Wow.
Words,
but he hates all of Western civilization.
Yes, all Western civilization is bad.
It's getting worse.
He's like Shaladins.
You don't have to tell me. It's clear. Look at it. Look what color he is. All the other people we've called great Americans up to this point have all been of a much peachier shade.
Don't look now, everybody. Rush Limbaugh is going to tell you it's not Fox News and the right-wing media that's propaganda. No.
Journalism is just propaganda now. The government putting out its agenda by another means. There
How
are
dare
no
he
reporters.
Talk about the Bush administration?
There is no journalism. It's just liberalism, Marxism, socialism, whatever you want to call it. It's the left. Although I will say that the charge of racism is losing its heft. It's no big deal anymore. It's been overdone and overblown.
There's no more racism anymore.
He's admitting that Andrew Breitbart was wrong.
Does he want to toss the word heft around?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I lost my heft, but it came back.
the reason it's lost heft with him is because, A, he doesn't ever take it seriously. He doesn't think it exists coming from him ever. And he's heard it so much because he's so racist consistently that it's just numb. No.
He lost his heft, and then the heft is like the stretcher that's following him in the heart attack commercial. It just always comes back. It's always right behind him. His heft. 58, don't look at me like that. 58 minutes after the hour, right back.
I don't know what commercial you're referring to.
The heart medicine commercial on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. You mock me because I'm in my chaise lounge with my heating pad next to my mobility scooter.
Yes, I do mock you.
And it looks like an old person driving the show. He just sees my hands reaching up for things, trying to drive the show. Help me.
You're an infomercial waiting to happen.
You really are.
I got my hover around for next to nothing.
My insurance paid for it. Medicare paid for it all.
I'm stimulating my bone right now as I speak.
What?
Me too.
Oh, Jim. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Hal Sparks is in the Cincinnati Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Show, which we didn't know existed until this morning.
Well, wherever there's a muke. A mook?
A muke.
A muke.
No.
Wherever there's
a mucus
membrane.
That's
a mook with a cold.
Yeah. Wherever there's a mook, there's a bureau.
Yes.
Yes, it's true.
Exactly. All right. So we have a Representative Ron Kind coming up from the great state of Wisconsin. And also Glynis McNichol from, she's the senior editor of Medialite.
Mediaite.
I get that wrong every single time.
My dear friend Rachel Sklar, whom you've met, I think, is from New York. You remember New York? It's where you were injured.
Yes.
She's on Mediaite. She's fantastic. She has a terrific blog.
And she's hot. And she's going to be on this very program on Friday.
Hey.
Well, that's great.
Cool. Yep.
Yes.
She's on the Twitter, as they say, Rachel Sklar, Sklar. She's worth following.
All right, but they've been all over obviously the Shirley Sherrod tapes and also this Rachel Maddow story, which is hilarious. They just will not shut up. They keep saying she's running for the Senate. And now Marco.
But Rachel is, yes. Rubio.
Yes, is trying to use an ad to raise money based on her non-existent run for the Senate.
It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. All right, so lots to get to. Representative Ron Kind, I believe, actually is joining us now from the great state of Wisconsin in just one moment. I see it on the screen. And there he is. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
My pleasure.
So we got unemployment. Okay. Wow. Finally, we broke the Republican filibuster on unemployment.
You know, it should not be this hard. I mean, come on. We've got a lot of struggling families out there trying to make ends meet. They, through no fault of their own, lost their jobs. There's one job available for every five people out looking right now. This is the compassionate, the decent thing to do. And for it to take this long and to be so difficult in the Senate is outrageous, especially this week, Steph, when they were talking about extending the Bush tax cuts that benefit wealthy Wall Street bankers. Yeah. And they don't want to pay for that. You know, they just want to add that to the deficit, which is the single largest contributing factor to the budget deficits that we face today. But when it comes to helping unemployed people who are trying to get back on their feet again, nope, can't do that. So I think it really highlighted the differences.
I have given you my sympathy before for having to debate the likes of Michelle Bachmann, who, I mean, how do you, she said, I think we need to be paying for all the spending that's going on, referring to the unemployment benefits. But when people can keep more of their own money, that shouldn't be considered a cost.
Right.
What? First of all, I think as many people have pointed out, unemployment benefits, that's your money too. We all pay into the unemployment fund, right?
Exactly.
That's exactly what it's for.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. And I tell you, when they were in charge, you know, and listen, the reason you look back at history is so you don't repeat it as we move forward. But
right.
when they were in charge, they passed two massive tax cuts that really did benefit the most wealthy in this country. Not a nickel of it paid for. Got us involved in two wars that are ongoing today. Not a nickel of it paid for. Passed the largest expansion of entitlement spending with the Part D prescription drug program under Medicare 6 years ago. That's a $1 trillion liability over 10 years. Not a nickel of it paid for. These are ongoing, unpaid-for expenses that are the largest contributors to the budget deficits today.
Yep.
And over the weekend, Pete Sessions, who runs the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, said that if they were back in charge in the majority, they would take us to the exact same policies under the Bush administration. The exact policies that drove us into the ditch that are leaving us with this mountain of debt that we're trying to climb out of now.
Well, what the things they say economically make no sense to me. I don't know if you saw the Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming, yesterday, pivoted beyond the thing about how we can't afford the unemployment insurance, but we, you know, the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts are free. He pivoted to suggest the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy should be funded with unspent stimulus funds. What? That's,
yeah.
I mean, it just it makes no sense, does it?
Well, it doesn't. But if you getting back to the unemployment insurance benefits, I mean, it's one of the best things we can do to jumpstart Main Street businesses in this country because you know those families need it. Those workers need it. They're going to spend the money. They typically spend it in small businesses in their local communities, which is exactly what our economy needs right now.
Right.
And yet even that basic economic philosophy is hard for them to understand that they are truly interested in getting this economy back on track, creating good-paying jobs. This is one of the best things you can do, according to every economist out there.
Thank you. It's not just helping people, which is what you know we believe in America when people are down, but it's also stimulative. Stimulative, as you say. I put way too many syllables in that word. But
the other point I would make, Steph, you know, if you look back at their economic philosophy in the first decade of this century, the Bush policies. They got what they wanted, huge tax cuts for the most wealthy, the trickle-down economic philosophy, and what do we have to show for it? The worst job growth record in the last 75 years.
Yep.
They
yep.
barely created 1 million jobs during that eight-year period. And in fact, this year alone, we're on track of seeing more private sector job growth this year than in the entire 8 years of the Bush administration,
right.
just to show you how bad those years during the Bush administration was.
Yep. So it passed by one vote yesterday. Senator Dick Durbin, take a listen.
When it comes to unemployed Americans who lost their job through no fault of their own, Americans literally faced with living in their cars, the Republicans tell us, sorry, we can't help. The deficit just requires us to say no.
I mean, it seems like even beyond any other issue, Congressman Kind, they've been exposed on this issue politically, haven't they?
Well, I hope so, because all of us have stories to tell of people who are contacting us saying, what the heck, why can't we get uninsurance extended? Just the other week, I was on the phone with a young mother, two young boys, 12 and 9. She's in a technical school, getting an accounting degree because she lost her job, but she's relying on her unemployment insurance to help pay for the apartment rent. And she got in touch with me and said, Ron, if we don't get this extended, I'll lose the apartment. I'm going to have to put the boys with my parents. I'm going to have to find a different place to live. I'm going to have to drop out of school and not attain my accounting degree, which I'm 4 months away from getting. And I'm back into a dead end, no future, no career opportunity. And this is what's going on out there. And somehow Republicans are not listening to people back home and the real impact their decisions are having on real lives. And that's what's most unfortunate about
it.
Well, I have to, you know, and I'm sure you've heard, but, I have to be encouraged that people are starting to get at this new Gallup poll. I'm sure you've seen, you know, the storyline has been Democrats are going to take a blood, you know, it's going to take a beating. It's going to be a bloodbath in the midterms. Democrats this week jumped to a 6 percentage point generic ballot edge for the November election, according to Gallup, 49 to 43%. So, you know, you wonder, and again, we're not right on every issue, but, you know, you start to wonder if people are starting to get it.
Well, you know, elections are about choices. They're about the future of our country, where we're going as a nation, and how we get there. And this is going to be it has to be a clear choice come November. Whether we fall back and repeat the policies of the past that drove us into the ditch, or whether we continue to move forward. Albeit, the economy's not recovering as fast as everyone would like. You know, things aren't perfect, but we've got to move forward and attempt things in order to lay the groundwork for long-term economic growth in this country. And yet, we heard over the weekend again, they admitted that if they're put back in charge, they're going to go right back to the same policies that failed working families in the last 8 years. And that's something we cannot afford.
That's also because it's based on the principle they operate on. I mean, you literally have, when they look at that number of five people looking for every one job, to them it's like, well, then that's an impetus for people to try harder, not recognizing that that's an issue of jobs not existing, that they look at it as almost a view of laziness on the part. They have this kind of Ayn Rand idea that we're all just kind of slackers, and that's why the economy is bad. And you should give the money to the rich people, and because they deserve it. They've been blessed, and they know where it should go.
Right. One of the best things that we did during the Clinton years was instituted pay-as-you-go budgeting rules. It did require budget discipline. But when they expired during the Bush years, what happened? They doubled the national debt in 8 short years and left a legacy of deficit spending in their wake. We've reinstituted pay-as-you-go budgeting, which is hard to do. It's one of the reasons health care reform was so difficult, because the president made clear we had to pay for it. And everything else around here we've got to pay for. And that's what makes doing anything very, very difficult. But in the past, under these emergency economic conditions, unemployment insurance was never offset. When the Republicans were in charge, when Democrats were in charge, instead they're trying to change the rules today. And it's one of the best things we can do to inject life into this economy right now is get that extension going, get it to people who need it. They're going to spend it. They're going to spend it in small businesses who are struggling right now on main streets throughout America, and it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think on the other side, I mean, the latest example of the fact they just want the president to fail, they just want to play gotcha, is this Shirley Sherrod story. I don't know if you're following, but
I have been.
You know, the White House, you know, thank goodness this morning, is saying obviously this needs to be relooked at, and I certainly hope that Vilsack reconsiders. You know, we can't be held hostage to the right-wing news cycle.
You know, and it's really tragic, because there's a pattern here. I mean, those on the blogs are taking little snippets and clips and taking things out of context, and then they air it, and then suddenly you get a Fox TV that runs with it and blows this out of proportion. Bad decisions are made in that environment, and I think a very bad decision was made in this instance. I'm glad to see USDA and the Secretary saying, you know, we really have to go back and review this again in light of all the information that's come out in the last 24 hours. And they've got to correct, I think, this injustice that was done. And the sooner they do it, the better off.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Ron Kind, who is exactly what his name says.
we try.
You're so wrong.
Representative Ron Kind, the great state of Wisconsin. See you next time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Those Kinds, they're a nice family.
If you look at like Naomi Klein's The Shock Doctrine, and then recognize that a lot of the Republican political points and economic points especially are not accidents. They're right. Going to present it like they screwed up last time. Look, it's not our plans problem. It was the implementation that was the problem. It's not, because their goal over time is, you know, fiefdom. They really do look at it like the robber barons had it right, mm-hmm. that there should be a ruling class that, because the rest of us are just too dumb to be
do
able
I
to
have
feel.
To be off to wear tights, because I look a little hippie. I don't want to.
No, all right. Want to return to the Middle Ages.
Stephanie Miller. Engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Now here is Associate Producer Rebecca Taylor to tell her how I roll slowly by her on my creepy mobility scooter and try to freak her out.
Yes. Yes, so Stephanie is like this gimp golden girl just rolling by me. And I just can't stop laughing and laughing at you.
When I go to the bathroom, I just roll slowly past her when she's screening the calls just to freak her out.
It does. It freaks me out. And I'm leaving now. Goodbye.
No, wait. I got a letter from Will saying, Steph, Ms. Taylor, I notice you don't have your own section on Stephanie's site. What's up with that? Is Steph jealous because you're younger and hotter than she is?
Yes, Stephanie is totally jealous. I'm a Hawaiian tropic model, and she can't compete with me.
Apparently, I'm not giving her the respect that she's entitled to. Oh, well, I guess we have to get her own section, don't we?
Can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
Just because. All right, Lee Papa, the rude pundit.
I was a Hawaiian punch model. Yeah.
I was a Hawaiian punch.
Oh, please, you played Scooby-Doo. All right. Let's,
at King's Island.
Let's check in with Lee Papa, the rude pundit, who joins us now.
Yay.
Your rudeness, what are you doing?
I am at the Rally for Economic Survival at the Cajun Dome in Lafayette, Louisiana. And there's so far at least about 10,000 people here. There's probably going to be about 15,000 before it starts. And I'm deep in enemy territory. And I got to tell you, I'm a little scared.
Wow. What the...
There's Tea Party signs. There's people with Halliburton shirts proudly proclaiming they work for Halliburton.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I may not make it out.
I certainly hope you're not wearing your Stephanie Miller Show T-shirt. That might not end well for you.
No. I did wear my, Obama Biden shirt, so I figured I may as well let them all know where I stand.
Wow, that is a little bit ironic. So they're in the midst of the worst environmental disaster in our history, and they're there campaigning basically for more of that. Yes.
Rooting for Transocean and BP?
I haven't seen a Transocean shirt. I have seen BP shirts. Yeah, in fact, they let people off of work today all over the city to be here. Wow. And closed down businesses. Every business around here has a sign up. Oh, it's... No,
thank
it's,
you for the tarballs, BP. Please, may we have some more, sir?
Yeah, I just met with a fellow blogger from Hot Air. We're, by the way, I'm on the second row. I'm in the press area.
Wow.
I will be spitting distance to Bobby Jindal.
Hot Air is, of course, Michelle Malkin's site.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's pretty intense in here. Everybody is very angry about the moratorium.
Wow.
They are seeing it as, really angry. Like, everybody's, right now, everybody's putting together videos to send to Obama, send to President Obama about the moratorium. It's everybody's job down here is somehow related to oil.
Right.
And so, it starts to get a little more complicated when you're starting to look into all of these people who were probably forced by their employers to be here, but are here nonetheless.
Wow. You know, Rude, I really, really wish you luck on your Lord of the Flies experiment there. Let's hope that you'll be on with us Monday and not having been killed by a rock.
Seriously.
No. And you know what? As long as Hal provides bail money, I think it'll be good.
We got you. Right. We got your back. All right. Thank you, your rudeness. Good luck. Good luck, and be safe.
Wow.
Bye.
All right. Bye. There he goes. Wow. He's a brave man. He likes to do that. He goes on his walkabouts in the red areas.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing there's not a lot of fishermen around that area, and people who make their living off the culture of that area or any of the food services industries.
I have a very dear friend who lives in Cape Cod, and she's doing this great benefit. Like, all the oystermen from up there are doing a benefit for all the oystermen down in the Gulf,
right.
Banding together. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, Glynis McNichol of the Mediaite. I got it right.
Nice. Mediaite. Well done.
To talk to him about this Shirley Sherrod story and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Look at the Hooters, will you? They're just as hard as little rocks.
sinners.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Glennis McNichol is with our, it's a fancy new site, Mediaite.com. Started by one of our good friends, Dan Abrams, Rachel Sklar, we're having on Friday. Glennis McNichol joins us now. Hi, Glennis.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks so much for coming on. You are senior editor over there. I understand.
Indeed.
Indeed you are. So you guys have been all over this, Glennis, Shirley Sherrod story. What is it? Update us. What is the latest? It looks like, the White House is saying, they should, the USDA should reconsider. She's saying she may not want the job. What's the latest you've heard?
Well, that pretty much sums it up. You know, overnight, the USDA said they, now the full facts have been presented to them in the means of the full video of her speech, that they would reconsider hiring her. And she was on Good Morning America this morning saying that she may or may not want her job back, understandably. It seems to me right now that the sort of media sensibility is now focused more on how the administration, the USDA, and the White House, how much they were involved, and how they jumped to the conclusion here that she was guilty without all the facts. I mean, that video was put out there by Andrew Breitbart, who was heavily involved in the Acorn scandal, and in the aftermath of that, we discovered that those videos were heavily edited. So that they would take this as truth without hearing her out fully and hearing the video out fully, I think, is reflecting very badly on them right now.
Well, I mean, and it's the same theme, isn't it, Glennis? It's like, they were he was trying to make Acorn look stupid, and in this case, he was trying to make the NAA look stupid, using completely, in case people don't know, it made it look like this, what's his name? I can't remember his name now, went into that ridiculous pimp outfit to talk.
James O'Keefe.
Right, yes. And James O'Keefe, and of course, he never was dressed like that. He dressed like that just for the cameras, for this stupid thing that, the video that Breitbart posted, and, here again. We have something that was clearly edited to, in this case, reach the opposite conclusion of what was true, correct?
Exactly. I mean, the absolute opposite conclusion. And Andrew Breitbart is now saying he never saw the full tape, which in and of itself raises questions how he could conclude so thoroughly that there was racism involved in her speech. But, a lot of people, the NAACP, the administration, all jumped to conclusions based on this edited piece of video. And it's really shocking, actually.
Well, Glennis, first of all, I smell something not right in that statement, don't you? He never saw the whole video?
Well,
who is he implying edited it like this?
He said this is where the story really falls apart. I mean, one of the places it really falls apart. He's saying that the video came to him edited, and that clip just shows up, which raises a whole slew of questions, obviously, how he could make it see slandering Shirley Sherrod by making those statements based on an edited clip.
Seems curious that just the right piece of tape proving just the point he was trying to make about the NAACP arrives at just the right time. Isn't it curious?
Just the right time. But then you have to wonder, had you seen that entire tape, her speech is so completely the opposite of what he said
right.
It was.
Right. Story about something that happened many, many years ago that taught her to confront her own racism. And when it turns out she went out of her way to help these people, and they're lifelong friends of hers now.
Exactly. It's a redemptive speech, and it's an extraordinary speech. And I have to wonder if even Andrew Breitbart has, I don't know, to take that, edit it down, and then claim racism. Because had he done that, he would have known eventually the tape would have outed. And it's just, the difference between what he's saying and what actually occurred is staggering. So I mean, never say never.
Yes, that's a very nice way of saying he's a lying sack of crap.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yes, it's so the opposite of exactly what? So
I mean, all the more reason, though. He's so appalling, and his reputation is so terrible. All the more reason to question why so many organizations were willing to take his word for it. I think is
and continue to do so, because it's not like this is not a surprise. This is right now he and James O'Keefe are being sued by a Hispanic Acorn member, a former employee who lost his job because of the edited video. When it turns out he was doing exactly the opposite of what they said he was doing, he was literally gathering evidence and called the police on O'Keefe, saying there's a guy in here trying to traffic in underage prostitutes from Mexico, and here's the information. This is where they're going to be. This is the phone number he gave me. And he was milking them for that information.
Anyone that's watched any episode of any cop show ever, Glynis, knows that you go along with them, you get the information, and, you know.
Right. It's amazing. It is amazing that he has this track record and can still get away with it. And I think that begs some larger questions, both of the media and of the organizations that, you know, are so knee-jerk in their reaction.
Right.
Because sad sense, you expect this sort of behavior from him. And so it really makes you call into question
why everybody's jumping up.
Well, you know, and Chris, I think this goes to something even more serious. I mean, you know, not only is this someone's livelihood and reputation and whatever, but I mean, we've seen a lot of these stories too, this kind of stuff that they are fomenting on the right, you know, on Fox News and elsewhere, is in many places, excuse me, actually turned violent. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen, the NAACP has talked about they're receiving death threats all over the country. They've a lot of local units and chapters have, you know, ever since this whole Tea Party resolution, and then the right wing foments all this stuff, and that's, it's dangerous.
The repercussions. Sometimes you have to wonder if these headlines are generated so that the repercussions further generate the headlines. I mean, you could see this story switch midway yesterday. The Breitbart site was calling her racist and the NAACP racist, and by yesterday afternoon, they had a 180 on it and decided she was the victim. And that's the news cycle that went into Fox that night. So they generated the storyline.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen to this from the NAACP blog. One caller references the new Black Panther case and says, you want a race war? You got one. Repeatedly uses the N-word. It says there are a bunch of have-not, bunch of bums. Towards the end of the call, says the streets will run red with your blood. I mean, you know, let's hope there's not more serious consequences out of this story that's been made up out of whole cloth by the right wing.
Exactly. The responsibility of generating these news stories, there seems, you know, the concern gets increasingly greater as the stories become increasingly crazy, that there will be eventually a violent outcome. So far, you know, fortunately nothing has happened, but you get the sense that what the bottom line here is ratings and, you know, news clicks on websites without much consideration to the real life impact of what the stories are saying.
Right.
Yeah. Let's turn from a that's a bad outcome to a funny outcome of a right wing lie. The Rachel Maddow story, which is kind of hilarious. Scott Brown tried to raise money off her fictional Senate run. Just kept saying that she's rumored to run, and of course she's not. And now Marco Rubio is tell us about that story.
So the other day, Marco Rubio put out, he's the candidate for Senate in Florida. He's sort of been a favorite of the Tea Party. Charlie Crist, the governor, who's now running for Senate, has gone independent because the poll results Rubio was getting were so strong. Rachel Maddow had taken some of his economic forecasts and solutions to task on her show, and he responded with a campaign commercial saying, this is what Rachel Maddow said about us. This is actually what we're doing. If you, and there was sort of some cutesy music in the background, if you agree with Rachel Maddow, her show is on at 9 p.m., and if you agree with Marco Rubio, here's where you can donate some money. And the tone of the commercial was much, you know, Scott Brown sent out a sort of underhanded letter to nationwide supporters without much publicity and got caught out on it. Marco Rubio has been very public with this and kept the tone light. And Rachel Maddow responded on her show the other night with a similar commercial in the same theme. So first thanked him for telling viewers where they could find her on TV, said she likes Florida, and then responded with a similar commercial sort of debunking all of his plans for the state of Florida.
Right. It seems to me like obviously that's just for him publicity, because in my opinion, this is another case where the Tea Party is imploding on them. It looks to me like Charlie Crist is going to win.
Yes.
So, you know, here's another case where they have, you know, teabagged someone right out of the Republican Party that is so far to the right that, you know, now that it looks to me the Republicans are going to lose that race, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it looked, it sort of looked like a desperate measure on Marco Rubio's part. It was so clearly a ploy, as you say, for him to get some free publicity, some free cable primetime publicity, maybe not necessarily for his voter segment, but still that he didn't have to pay for. And, you know, that's exactly what he achieved. So it definitely felt like a last stand, sort of desperate. Let's see what we can do.
Yep. Glynis, before you go, just a personal question. Doesn't Dan Abrams have the dreamiest, bluest eyes you've ever seen in person? He's like a husky. Oh.
I think I have to plead the fifth on that one.
He's the boss, yeah.
His office is just like across the hall, right? Because you guys are all on a bank of computers. I've been to those offices. They're very hip. You guys are very stylish.
I will say we are a little hip.
Give Dan my love. All right.
And tell Rachel Sklar I send her a hug.
Well,
I will do that also.
Probably more than that, but that's inappropriate. Glynis McNichol of MediaIke.com, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having
me. All right, check back in with us. There she goes.
Hooray!
Yeah, Mediaite is a...
When Howard Sparks sends a hug, that's not what it means. That's code.
No, it isn't. It actually is a hug. Mm-hmm. Here's what happens when you... This is what happens when you actually can have sexual relations whenever you want to. You're actually able to have normal relationships with other people. You actually can actually
Are you
hug
making
them.
Fun of my like? Status as an elderly disabled shut-in? How dare you?
Precisely.
If I could get off this mobility
point.
Scooter, I would kick
give,
your ass.
Give Rachel,
right, exactly.
Give
I'm
Rachel
just saying,
a quote hug from me. As well.
Yeah, exactly. Right. See, there you go. That from the lovely and talented Jim Ward. He can put a hug in quotes if he wants to because he's married, so he has to. Right.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, there's a reason we call it Hump Days with Hal. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
We don't play all the one-hit wonders.
Yeah, you don't hear much EMF anymore, do
no,
you?
No, you just don't.
No.
That's unbelievable. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere tomorrow.
What?
Representative Alan Grayson. Another fabulous edition of Face the Grayson.
Face the Grayson.
Did you see him on the floor? Just awesome, as usual. He said of Republicans, may God help their souls, or whatever he said. Mm-hmm. It was just... voting against unemployment.
My favorite moment of his, and it's hard to pick because he's fantastic, but my favorite moment was when they asked him to apologize for his statement about health care and the Republican plan to, you know, if don't get sick, and if you get sick, die quickly. They said he should apologize. So he got on the floor, and he apologized to the dead.
He apologized
to the people who've been killed by the policy of not having universal health care available to people.
Mm-hmm.
What amazing.
Guyron in Los Angeles. Oh, also Craig Crawford on the big show tomorrow as well. Hi, Guyron.
Hey, Steffi. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to apply to be the official baby daddy of the Steffi Miller Show.
Ooh.
Why?
That takes some work.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. And I just want to say hi to my IE homie, Chris, and welcome everybody. But my thing is, the people around the president need to apply a little logic. Andrew Breitbart's a piece of crap. Rupert Murdoch's a piece of crap. Roger Ailes a piece of crap. And Fox's a piece of crap. So
yeah, I think they need to ask the salient question every time they walk in. Was it on Fox? Yes.
Well, then. That's yes.
Then it, was it true?
Computer says no.
No, then it's probably not true. What the fuck? All right. Hal Sparks, iPad aficionado. How is you? Do you have the iPhone? Are you having trouble with your new iPhone? Or do
nope.
you not? No.
By the way, that problem was experienced by less than 0.1% of iPhone users. It was totally blown out of proportion. And if you'll notice, every time Apple comes out with a new piece of technology, and HuffPost is one of the worst about it, but everybody immediately comes out, here comes the iPhone killer. What's the iPad killer going to be? The Google phone was going to destroy the iPhone. The iPad was going to be eaten up by the slate by HP, which has been delayed another year and is a piece of junk. This is literally other technology companies. The only way that they can hit Apple is not on quality of technology, but in the public eye. They try to drive the stock price down, and they try to drive people away from buying it.
I found a way to kill Apple. Here, let me give you the fun facts. Here's something I learned this week. You cannot drop a glass of wine in a MacBook Pro and expect it to function anymore.
Well, especially if your idea of a glass of wine is a beer stein.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
if you've got a Slurpee-sized
glasses that holds a full bottle of wine, and apparently
that's a tumbler. Uh-huh. You actually have collector's cups from 7-Eleven you're drinking wine out of, or whatever, just because they have the sippy top.
Anyway, there's now somebody else is bitching about Apple. A woman said a website wouldn't let her set an appointment to have her phone fixed because of her name. Her name is Sandy Burdick. Which I don't even know what that...
Sandy Bird Dick.
Oh! I wondered why... Oh, I see. It says you have entered an inappropriate name.
Yeah.
I cannot make an appointment for you.
What?
It's not like...
There he is, no Sandy Burn Dick.
All right. So we have to do a little celebritard news. Because Lindsay Lohan, for God's sakes, went
in the
hooscow yesterday. Superficial says, seen here demonstrating her ability to make 500 different faces that say, I don't give a... Lindsay Lohan reportedly go full frontal when she plays Linda Lovelace in The Inferno, according to Radar Online. So, it's the breaking news for you, Squeezy.
Yeah.
Hot lesbian sex in prison and full frontal when she gets out. Okay. Mm. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes reality show in the works? Ooh. Oh, no.
Yes.
They're planning to appear in a reality TV show to show the world that their family is normal.
super duper normal. Look how normal it is. We're the normalest family ever in the history of normalness.
Boink, boink.
Tom
boink,
is particularly boink. Keen to show his family's lifestyle is not weird. Just because they follow the teachings of Scientology. That would be suppressive and glib.
You're suppressive and glib. Look how normal we are.
They were somehow...
Super duper normal. Super duper, super duper, duper duper normal. Right, Katie?
Help me. Somebody please help me. Let's check with Thad today. What's happening with the oil spills?
What you're doing is you're putting mud down, and you're not putting hydrocarbons into the formation. You're putting mud into the formation. So the question would be, at that point, what that would tell you, and then we would have to analyze the data associated with that. If we thought there was a problem with well integrity, we could, at that point, start going to containment or vent. But I think we need to have detailed discussions, understanding what the actual procedures would be based on the results as they do that. Those discussions are underway right now.
I think I need to learn to modulate my voice so I can talk at more than one level sometimes.
I deal only in details. There is no emotion involved.
The five leaks sound a little troubling.
Let me classify the leaks. We have five very small leaks in and around the blowout preventer and the stack itself. These are leaks through flanges or gaskets.
It's not like an
oil leak you might have in your car. Very small drips, I would say.
That's just a little. You got a little drip from your master cylinder. That's nothing. That's not.
No, if the idea that they've actually attached a cap at that depth of water and pressurization with that kind of like freezing temperatures and it's stunning that the thing hasn't cracked and flown off anyway. So this is there's no way you build a secondary preventer and lay it over that without getting some leakage. It's just not going to happen. Plus the reinforcement of that pipe, the lucky part is that there's not oil coming up out of the ocean floor about 100 yards away. That's what you really have to worry about and how long it will be before that starts happening.
Now here is the British Prime Minister placating us in a soothing British voice.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. David Cameron.
I completely understand the anger that exists right across America. The oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico is a catastrophe.
Yes. It's a bit of a...
We've sent Harry Potter to take care of it. That's right. He's picking a wand that deals with oil right now.
We haven't quite worked out the magic spell for oil spills, but we will. And
all right.
We rhyme.
Oh, we have one big... here we go. The rural school district that canceled its prom rather than allow a... lesbian student to attend with her girlfriend has agreed to pay $35,000 to settle a discrimination lawsuit the ACLU filed on her behalf.
All right.
The district also agreed to follow a non-discrimination policy as part of the settlement, although it argues such a policy was already in place.
Yeah. What? Unless you're...
Computer says no.
Unless you're gay, in which case, yeah. Not so much. All right. And we
guess what? All civil rights policies were in place when they were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't
exactly.
matter. It doesn't matter that you still that you're just going on what was there. Once you take a look at it as it's being implemented, you go, this is wrong.
One step at a time. One step at a time. She should have the same right to wear an awful powder blue tux as anyone else.
Right.
Oh, all right. Hal Sparks has a weekend show on our Chicago affiliate. What time?
What time is it? I guess 9 to 11 L.A. time, Pacific Coast time on WCPT in Chicago. And of course, Chicago's ProgressiveTalk.com. And we'll be streaming it as we were today.
That's it for us.
Yeah.
We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah.